Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Zayin. We begin the third parak, Hameiniach Es Hakat, which is found towards the bottom already of Chav Zayin Omud Aleph. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Jack Zimmelman, Yaakov, Ben Reb, Moshe Ber. All the Shams we learned for Shadav and Leah from our learning, and we continue to learn for the safety of all of our holy forces in Eretz Yisrael. They should be successful. They should be able to bring back the hostages quickly, safely, and in good health. And Be'ezus Hashem, all those in need of Fuhu Shleimer should have one, and those in need of Nechama, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Yinachem. May Hashem watch over all of Klal Yisrael in this time of great Eis Tzara. Okay, we begin the third parak, Hameiniach Es Hakad, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, towards the bottom third. The Mishnah tells us if a person places a kad, is normally translated as a jug. We'll see it's also translated here as a barrel. And we'll discuss this in a moment because we'll be switching terms in our Mishnah as well as in several other Mishnayos where we interchangeably use the term kad and chovitz. So we start off using the term kad. The person places a kad b'rishus harabim. He has a right to go be in the rishus harabim, but he places his jug in the rishus harabim. Uba acher, and another person comes along, the niskal ba, and he trips over it, and Ushivara, and he breaks this kad. So we have two potential problems over here. Number one, the damage to this kad, or number two, the damage to the person potentially from tripping and breaking over this kad. So we start off with the first damage, which is the damage to the kad, potter. The person who broke this has a right to walk in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore when he breaks something in the Rishus HaRabim, we'll explain this more in the Gemara as to why this is so, he is not liable for breaking something that is in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, why shouldn't he be more careful? The Gemara will discuss. But the person who breaks this, the Mazik, since he's doing this in the Rishus HaRabim where he has a right to walk, and we'll explain why he shouldn't have been more careful or what made him not be able to be more careful, and he breaks this kad in the Rishus HaRabim, he is potter from paying any damage. However, if he himself is hurt by this, v'im huzak bo, in stumbling on this and tripping on it, he hurts himself, he breaks his leg, so then, baal ha-chavis, and here we switch over from the word kad, we switch over to the word chavis, which is normally translated as a barrel, but we see that they're interchangeable in our Mishnah, and we'll discuss this in the Gemara in some detail at the very beginning of the Gemara. So when he is hurt by his falling and tripping over this kad, and he breaks his leg, so there's some other damage to him, so baal ha-chavis chayav binisko, the owner of this kad has to go and pay for the nezek that he caused. He won't have to pay for the arba dvarim, but he would have to pay for the nezek, any damage. So let's say a guy ripped his pants because he fell and ripped his pants or he broke his leg. So the nezek that was caused by the owner of this kad, even though he didn't do anything in purpose, but he placed his kad in the Rishus HaRabim, which he didn't have a right to do under certain circumstances. So therefore, he is held liable for the damage that he caused to this person. That's our Mishnah, and the Gemara starts off and right away points out that we seem to switch midstream in terms of the noun that we're using for this container. First we call it a kad, and then we call it a chavis. What's going on? Pasach b'kad, v'siyim b'chavis. You start off using the term kad, and then midstream you seem to switch to the word chavis. So obviously they're interchangeable, and the Gemara tells us this is true in three other places as well. Utnan nami, we have this in the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a couple of days, on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where it says, Zeh bo b'chavis. So if one person is walking in the Rishus HaRabim and he has a barrel, a chavis, the other guy's carrying a beam, and you know what's going to happen. The guy with the beam is going to hit the barrel, and it's going to break it. So nishbaro kado shozeh, bikoroso shozeh, the guy carrying the beam inadvertently goes and breaks the chavis, the barrel of the other person. And nishbira kado, it says, shozeh b'korosh shozeh. It doesn't say the chavis anymore. It switches midstream, and it calls it the kad. So again, we start off using the terminology chavis, and then we switch to kado. So in this situation, since both of them, as we'll discuss more in that Gemara and Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and there afterwards, so he had the right to carry his beam in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, we'll see exactly why he is potter. When we get to that Gemara, we'll see exactly why he's potter. The owner of the beam is potter for now breaking the kad. Potter. Again, same question. Pasach b'chavis. There you started off with the word chavis. V'siyim b'kad. Again, we switch words. Not important the order, but the idea that we seem to be using two different nouns to describe this container. And we have it again. Utnan nami. We have this in another Mishnah in our Masechta, on Daf Kuf Tezvav Omen Aleph, it says over there, Zeh Bar B'Chaviso Shol Yayin, Zeh Bar B'Kadlo Shol Dvash. You have one person coming with a kad. Again, we use a container over here called a kad that has wine in it, and the other one has a container of honey. Rashi points out that the honey is worth more than the wine. As Rashi says, "Bipnei dvash dom of yikarim." The dvash is more expensive than the wine, so therefore, when it happens that there is a leak in the container with the honey, and here again we switch from kad to chavis. Nisdika chavis. Instead of saying his kad broke, instead it says that there's a crack now inside this container that was holding the honey. So what does the guy with the wine do? The shafak zeyeno, he pours out his wine, which is less expensive, to go and save the hitzil as a dvash lesocho. So he pours out $10 worth of wine in order to save $50 worth of honey. So in this situation, all this person who spilled out the wine has the rights to is Eino Ela Scharo. He has the right to go and charge him, as Rashi says, Kishar Poel, like any worker who would have done this. The Ein Bal Hadvash Mishalim Dmei Hayayin. But he doesn't have to pay for the wine that he lost. So let's say he would work $5 for this. So he lost $10 worth of wine, but he only gets paid $5. And again, in this situation, Pasach Bechad V'Siyem Bechavis. So we have over here a total of three Mishnayos here, our Mishnah and two others. I think I said before that we're going to have three others. No, it's a total of three that I meant to say, that we switch around the word back and forth between Kad and Chavis. So I'm Rapapa tells us, Hainu Kad, Hainu Chavis, exactly what we all know, that they're interchangeable. Why are you telling us this? No, normally a Tana is consistent. So granted, Kad and Chavis interchangeable. Are you giving us a language lesson that you're teaching us nice other names for a utensil, this container? Use one. Use either Kad or use either Chavis. What's the Chiddush? What's the Nafkamina for teaching us in these three Mishnayis that we interchange Kad and Chavis? So the Gemara says, Lemekach umemkar. This is very important to teach us, as Rashi points out, Shebiyad hamocher lo seslo ezo shiirtze. Reuven goes and buys what he calls a chavis from Shimon. Shimon has the right to sell him a smaller container called a kad. Vafilu his deimo chavis, even though he said, I want to buy a chavis from you. The mashma gedolu, which implies a slightly larger container, nosin lo kad. The person who's selling it, he is the one who owns the utensil, so he's in the driver's seat, and he's able to go and give a kad shiktana instead. That's the nafkamina in regards to Mekkah u'Memkar. Or questions that says, I don't understand. How could that possibly be? Hechidami. Ilema b'yasrot. You're telling me in a place where the kada lo karu chavis and the chavis lo karu kada. You're telling me that this is in a place where they don't use these terms interchangeably. A kad means a smaller container. A chavis means a larger container. So they don't use them interchangeably, neither one way or the other. They don't call a kad a chavis, they call a chavis a kad. So then, alo karula, they don't call it that. So how can you tell me that the person who's selling Shimon can sell him a smaller container, a kad, when the guy asks for a chavis? They don't use them interchangeably in those places. So obviously, it's not talking about those places. So where is it talking about? Lo tzricha. They're talking about in a place where the majority of the time, the ruba, the majority of the people, koru lo lekada kada, ulo chavisa chavisa, that most people use a separate term for a chavis, and most of the time they use a separate term for a kad. So 95% of the time, if you ask for a kad, you're getting it the smaller container. You ask for a chavis, you're getting it the large container. However, the ikonami, but there are those, the karu, that call l'chavisa kada, l'kada chavisa. There is enough of the population, albeit it's a minority, that in fact use the two terms interchangeably. So I might have said in this situation, well, listen, 95% of the people call it a kad, and therefore, if he asks for a kad, you got to give him a kad and not a chavis. And vice versa, if he asks for a chavis, you got to give him a chavis, you can't give him a kad. So I might have thought, mal detemo zil bosa ruba, that we should follow the majority opinion over here that says a kad is a kad and a chavis is a chavis, and therefore the person who's selling it has to give him what was asked for. And in our case, Reuven asked to purchase from Shimon specifically a chavis, so I might have said, since 95% of the people call a chavis and a kad, and they don't use them interchangeably, so then Shimon must sell him a chavis. He doesn't have the right to go and sell him a kad. So therefore, we turn to Chav Zayin on the base, and we say, no, Kamash Shalom, the Chiddush of our Papa, telling us from these three Mishnayos is the ein holchim b'mamon achar harov. This is a very important principle that we don't go after the majority opinion in regards to money. As the top Rashi tells us, hechad b'stapkel on milsa, when we're unsure what something is. Kigod hacha, in our case, where the majority of the people call a chavis, but a minority call it a kad. So then you don't have the right to say, well, we follow the majority, you call a chavis, and you can't give him a kad in that situation. No, you could say after mamon, you go by the person, what he wants it to be. He's the owner of the container. He's the muhzak, so to say. And if he says, no, I agreed to sell you a chavis, but that includes a kad, he can sell him the smaller cod container. I just look at the price. So the Mepharshim bring down, the price is roughly the same. So you can't go and tell from the price exactly what the item was, because if there was a huge difference of price, he says, listen, I'm going to buy a car, and he sells him a toy car, a Mattel car, for $2, and instead of a real car for $30,000, so then he gave him $30,000, he didn't mean the Mattel car. But here with the Chavis and the Kad, the Mepharshim explained, they're close enough in price that you can't tell by the amount that was given which one he meant. So the Chiddush of Rav Papa is that they're enough interchangeable when the minority still uses them interchangeably, that you can give him the one that you wish to give him. And vice versa. If the person hasn't given the money yet, so then he can demand, no, I don't want that one. I want that one. Otherwise, I'm not paying you. There's no mishapara in this situation. And Rashi brings down that this will be something that we'll have on the Gemara, on Daf Mem Zayin Nun Aleph, where Hamocher Shor L'Chavero, if a person is selling an ox to his friend, the Nimsa Nachon, and it turns out that this is a goring ox, and the person who bought it didn't want to buy a goring ox because he's saying, I'm buying it for Harisha purposes. So we don't say in that situation, Lo Aminam Basa Ruba Zeal, that you go after the majority, which people buy ox and they buy it Ula Harisha Kino, he bought it for the purposes of a plowing cow, and therefore this is a Mekach Tos, because he didn't want to have a sharmuad. He didn't want to have a goring ox as his plowing cow, because the last thing he wants to do is to watch it all the time, make sure it doesn't gore other animals and other people. So they have etos, it's a mekach tos. No, El Omar, Hamos v'chaver olav arayah. No, you wanted to buy my ox. I sold you an ox. You didn't specify it was an ox l'charisha, and therefore, the person who's selling it said, listen, I thought you were buying it for shechita purposes. What difference does it make if you're going to shecht it today, whether it's a goring ox or it's not a goring ox? I thought you wanted to barbecue. And therefore, you would have to prove that you only wanted a shor l'charisha. And if you can't prove that, then I have the right to go and give you a shor that's a shor muad, a goring ox, because I thought you were going to shecht it, and therefore what does it make if it's a shor muad or a shor tam? Okay, so that is what Rav Papa says is the chiddush both in our Gemara and the other two Gemaras in our Masechta, where we interchangeably use kad and chavis. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Uba acher v'niskal ba ushvara potter. So we have the case in our Mishnah where the guy put the Miach Kad, he puts the Kad in the Shusar Rabin, the other guy comes and trips on it and breaks it. In that case, the person is Potter for breaking the other guy's Kad. Now, the Gemara is going to give four reasons as to why this is so. Three first, and then later on we'll give a fourth reason. So, Amai Potter, why should Reuven, when he breaks Shimon's Kad, why should he be Potter? After all, Iboile Liayune Umezal. He should have looked. Why didn't he go look and see where he's walking? And therefore, why is Shimon over here not entitled to be compensated for his broken kad? That Reuven was a clumsy klutz and broke it. Why didn't you look? You should have looked and walked around it rather than trip on it and break it. So we have three terutz right now, and then we'll have a fourth later on. The first one is from Devei Rav. Amri Devei Rav, they send the base medish of Rav, Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav himself, B'memale Rishus HaRabim Kula Chovios. This guy was taking up the entire Rishus HaRabim. He had a truck, and he wanted to air out his truck, or his truck had a flat tire, and he had to transfer all the jugs into another truck, and he put out all of his jugs in Rishus HaRabim. There was no other place for this person to walk, and therefore, even though he was Iyune Umezal, but nevertheless, he broke one of the Kadim, and therefore, he's parted, because the other guy didn't have the right to go and fill up the entire Rishus HaRabim with these drugs. Yes, he had the right to use the Rishus HaRabim, but not to go and fill it up all the way. And therefore, in case something broke, he is held responsible for putting his drugs in a place that he shouldn't have really put them, and the other guy is not held responsible. Shmuel gives a different teretz. Again, it doesn't say Amar Shmuel, so it doesn't mean necessarily that Shmuel disagrees with Rav, but Shmuel says, no, this was a scenario. Shmuel Amar, Biafei Lashanu. We're talking about at nighttime, when he couldn't see. So yes, during the daytime, if he broke it, he would be liable, because you should look, should have walked around it. But at nighttime, he couldn't see it, and therefore they didn't have street lights, and the person was walking by the light of the moon. No, it was a new moon, there wasn't much light, and he tripped on this barrel, this cod, this chavis, and he broke it, so therefore he is potter. That's teretz number two for Shmuel. Rav Yochanan Amar teretz number three, lav dafka, that he disagrees with the first two, but he says we're dealing here bekeren zobis. So Rashi says, kishenichnosin mimavui lemavui, he's turning the corner in the Rishus HaRabim, he's going from one alley into another alley, so the barrel is right by the side of the Rishus HaRabim where he's allowed to be put. However, he doesn't see it as he's turning the corner. And he's turning the corner, he doesn't see it, and that's when he trips. So therefore, in this situation, as well as with Shmuel, you don't say, because both in Shmuel's case and in Rav's case, these were inadvertent trippings over the barrel of the cod, chavis, and therefore he's not held liable for it. Where it says, I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa qualifies this as well, and he says, Lo daiko mas nisin. He says, the wording of the Mishnah, the niskalba, works very well according to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Doesn't work so well according to Rav. So, Lo daiko mas nisin, Ela oki Shmuel, oki Rav Yochanan. If you're going to be medaik in the Mishnah, why did it say the word, Uba acher the niskalba? Why did it say that Ruvain chanced upon this kad or chavis and broke it? According to Shmuel, you know why he chanced upon it? Because it was at night. He didn't know it was there. According to Yochanan, he was just turning the corner and didn't know it was there. So therefore, that's why it says he tripped on it. V'niskalba. And therefore, when he breaks it, he's potter. But Rav, if it's according to Rav, all of them were lined up there in the Rishus HaRabim. The guy who put up a Malali Rishus HaRabim, Kulu Chavios. So then, my Iriya Nitzkal, what difference should it make if he tripped on it? I feel Shahar Nami. He's just walking and he sees it, but he says, listen, I got to get through. He doesn't intentionally kick it and break it, but as he's walking, one of them barrels falls down and it breaks. So why did he use the lashon of niskal? It could be even if he's just walking, he didn't have to trip on it. He just could be walking regular. So Gemara says no. Even Rav, it makes sense the lashon of niskal because of the seifa. Amar Rav Zvid mishmei the Rava. Rav Zvid answered in the name of Rava. Who adin the afilu shabbat? No, according to Rav, even if he was just walking, he didn't trip over it. But since the guy was filling up the Rishus HaRabim and he didn't have the right to do so, if I'm walking and trying to squeeze through and I break one of his jugs, I'm not held liable. Then why did it say the lashon niskal? Behind the tani niskal is I did the boil mis they seifa niskal. The imhuzak balachov is chayav binisko. In the seifa, it said that if he slipped on it, then, and he breaks his leg, he tears his pants, so then the owner of the chavis has to go pay him for the broken leg, has to pay him the nezik for the broken leg, or the ripped pants, or whatever damage he caused. So there, the dafka was the dafka niska. There, it had to be talking about specifically that he had tripped. Because in that situation, if he had broken it, he was just walking, he saw it, and he broke it, then if he hurts himself, avo shavar, so then, lo, he wouldn't be asking the owner of the cot to pay for his damages. Why not? My time off. Because who? Isaac Kadashi. Because he hurt himself. He saw the cot there. He could have walked around it. He could have been more careful. He wasn't. And therefore, if he gets damaged, he can't go and ask the Balakad to go and pay for his damages. Granted, he doesn't have to pay for the damages of the cod, and it didn't have to say niskal in the reisha, but since it said niskal in the sefer, because only under the situation of niskal in the sefer would he be able to go and demand damages for his broken leg, his ripped pants, so therefore the sefer had to be niskal, so therefore for parallelism, even according to Rav, the reisha writes niskal. Ktani reisha niskal. Okay, so these are the first three terutzim, and everything is good now. We understand Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan. Here we have now a fourth terutz. Gemara tells us, Amalei Rabbi Abba Ravashi. Rabbi Abba tells Ravashi, Hochi Amri Marava, Mishmei Ravula. In Eretz Yisrael, that's Marava, they said over in the name of Ula, a fourth terutz. And that is, Lefi She'en Darken Shalbei Adam, Lizbonein Badrochim. It's not normal for a person to go and look down. Tosus points out, animals look down all the way at the bottom. Tosus, Lefi, Ein Darkei Shebnei Adam. He writes, the Moran Daf Nun Beis tells us, Shor Pikeach Bayom Potter, a normal shor during the daytime, the owner of the bar is Potter if the ox falls into the bar. Why? Because the shor ain't of lamata, because the shor walks on all fours, and therefore its head is facing down, and the shor will see where it's going. And therefore, a shor is going to look more than a person and won't fall into a pit. But a guy's talking, or we could say today, he's on his cell phone texting. So therefore, the person is preoccupied, or he's not looking down, and therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, Ula said that we're dealing here, that a person isn't necessarily expected to see the kadam on the road. He's busy doing other stuff. He's having an animated conversation with his chavrusa while they're walking and learning. And therefore, if he doesn't see this kad, he's not held liable for not seeing the kad. And in that situation, he's able to go and be potter from breaking the kad, because after all, the guy shouldn't have put it in the shusarabim where it could be damaged. And in this situation as well, since he really isn't always able to stop himself from tripping on something, so therefore the other person is held liable if he causes damage with his cot in the shusarabim, as opposed to an animal which is walking on all fours and its head is down and it sees stuff on the ground. So therefore, if it were to fall into a pit, the animal during the daytime, if it's a normal animal, would not be able to go and, or the owner of the animal would not be able to go to the owner of the boar and say, hey, pay me for my animal that got hurt and damaged falling into your pit. Okay. Mark continues, Haba Uvdo Dinardoi, the ones was such a maisa where a person tripped on something in the middle of the day and he broke it, and V'chiev Shmuel. In this situation, Shmuel made this person pay for the broken item. Shmuel Lushitaso, who says that during the daytime you can see it. It's only at nighttime that our Mishnah says that you're parted from paying. That's what Shmuel Paskin Dinardoi. Ubapum Pedisa, same thing happened. V'chiev Rava. Rava, although some have the gears on the side, it says Rava. In any event, either Rava or Rabba Paskin in Pumpadisa the same way that the person who broke the cot has to pay for it. Now, Bishlamo Shmuel is very clear, because he said, Kishmaisi, as we just pointed out, he says only at nighttime are you part of it, because you can't see at nighttime. But during the daytime, when you can see, you should have walked around it and you're held liable. However, Ella Rava or Rabba, what does he say? That the person is chayv. Mustama, lemo kishmul sirulate. Does he hold like Shmuel? Is that the answer? So Rapapa, again, we have a lot of Rapapa today. On Rapapa, karna the atzrahavi. No, it's a different scenario that Rava, Rabba made them chayv in Pumpadisa, because we're dealing here with karna the atzra. Rashi tells us that karna the atzra is in fact a place where they put lots of barrels. Karen zovis has smucha lebeis habad. This is right near the press, and therefore, let's say it's an olive press. So they had lots of barrels there because people were lining up to go and press their olives. So they put their barrels. There wasn't any room to keep the barrels inside the press anymore, so they put them outside the press. And therefore, in that situation, where they're using up the kibun de birshus ka'avde, since the owners of the barrels have the right to go and put them there on the side of the press, people should be more careful. He knows he's walking right by the press. He knows that there are going to be barrels outside there, and therefore he should have been more careful. And if he wasn't more careful over there, then Rava, Rabba says, in that situation, you have to pay for the damage that you caused, because the owners in that situation did have a special right to put their barrels over there, and even though it's a shusarabim, even though it's a place where people walk, you should have known better. Iboyele liyune umeza. Okay, next case. Shalach le Rav Chisda le Rav Nachman. Rav Chisda asks Rav Nachman the following shaila. What happens? Hare amru le rechuva shalosh. The rabbi said that you have to pay certain types of boshes, embarrassing somebody. There's certain financial compensation that is expected for a person who intentionally goes and embarrasses somebody else. So in a situation of rechuva, somebody gave a zetz to somebody else with their knee. Rashi explains, rechuva is minog ha-dayanim. It was the established custom of dayanim, ligvoa min ha-boet. If somebody gave somebody else a knee, eschavero bi'ar kivuso, he gave somebody else a knee. Somebody needs somebody else intentionally and embarrassed them. So the boet has to pay gimul shloim. That was the penalty, leboshes. That was the sum that was the minog of the dayanim to charge. If somebody else needs somebody on purpose and embarrass them, so you'd have to pay a 3 sela knas. Lefi shegedola boshes makas horakuva midchifa sayad. As opposed to if you just push somebody and you cause them to be embarrassed, that would be a lesser penalty. It doesn't tell us how much you pay for that, but the boshes for giving somebody a knee was more significant than just pushing somebody with the hand, Rashi says, and therefore the dayanim, they set up a penalty of 3 sloim. If you did bi'ita ula bi'ita, Rashi says beregel, if you gave him a kick as opposed to a knee, that's even more embarrassing. So chomesh, they set up the penalty of 5 sloim. and the list no keres. Rashi says that you mean you gave him a zetz with the ukov shel chamor, with the saddle of a donkey. Sheikah bo'ez chaveru. You gave him a zetz with the saddle of a donkey. The Rabbeinu Chananel over here, about two-thirds of the way down, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that this list no keres means pirush hakor the egrof tachas lechyo. You gave him a zetz with your fist underneath his jaw. So you punched the guy. Others say it means you gave him a slap. Others say that it means that you gave him a bite. So in all of these situations, that's a much bigger embarrassment, and therefore, the penalty that the Dayanim set up, the minhag was to give shloshes rei, 13 slon that you have to pay. So that's what Rav Chisda said to Rav Nachman. These are well-known penalties that the Dayanim would go and assess for embarrassment. So he asked Rav Chisda asked Rav Nachman, le panda demora, if you gave somebody a zetz with the panda demora, which is the base yad, the handle of this mora, of this certain type of a hoe, or lukopina demora. Rashi explains this is the barzel atzmo, this is the metal part, which is right near the neck, which right near the hole that you put it into the handle. So if you gave the zetz with these types of shovels or hoes, so what is the penalty that the dayanim had the minhag to give in that situation? Rav Nachman is surprised that you're paying for this. Sholach Lei, he said, Chista, Chista. He called him Chista, Chista, his friend. Chista, Chista, what are you talking about? This is a knas. And knas, kol magbe bebavel, you need to have smicha. And the Rabbanim in Babel didn't have the real smicha, the full-fledged smicha. They had in Eretz Yisrael all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu, which stopped sometimes in the 3rd or 4th century of the Amorayim, in the time of the second Hillel, not the Hillel that we know, but Hillel Hasheni. So it was stopped at that point in time, and it was never reinstituted, albeit they did try in the time of Rav Yosef Karo, when everybody gave, the great Gedolim of Tzfas, gave to the Mahari Bei Rav, the great Rav Yaakov Bei Rav, so he was given smicha by Rav Yosef Karo, and he in turn then gave smicha to Rav Yosef Karo, as well to the Mabit, and to the Al Shech HaKadosh, so this was not accepted, this attempt to reinstitute the smicha, and it was stopped after those four got smicha again, and it hasn't been continued since then. Today rabbis have the title rabbi, so that's not really the same smicha that we're talking about here in the Gemara that would entitle you to collect the knas. In any event, Rav Nachman says to Rav Chisda, how can you collect the knas in Babel? You don't have smicha. So tell me what went on that you're asking me this question. Emily Gufa de Uvda Hechihaba. Tell me exactly what went on over here, and then I'll be able to answer your question, how much you have to pay for giving the guy his zets with this handle of the hoe or the shovel or the actual shovel itself. So Rav Chisda sends him the following. Shalach Lei, Rav Chisda sends back to Rav Nachman. The Hau Gargusa, the Bay Trey. There was a certain type of a well. Rashi says a Gargusa is a bor mayim. It's a pit of water. Mechunas, when the water is gathered over there, it's not a spring. Lahashko Sado. So therefore, there's a limited amount of water in this pit. And these two people owned it. Gargusa belonged to the Bay Trey, two people. And they had an arrangement. They call Yoma Havadoli Chad Minayu in order to conserve the water that was there. So each day, one of them would have the rights to use the water, and the other one did not have the rights to use the water. One day, also Chad called Doli Biyoma Delodile. One of the two then came on a day that wasn't his to go draw water. And the other person said to him, hey, what are you doing? Amale Yoma Didihu. It's my day to go collect the water today. You don't have a right to do so. And the other guy didn't listen to him. Lo ashkach bay. The one who didn't have the right to collect the water just went on collecting the water. So the one who did have the right to collect the water gave him a zatz. Shokal pando demara and machye. So he took the handle of this hoe, of this shovel, and gave him a zatz. So that's what happened. So Rav Chisda asked Rav Nachman, what's the halacha? So Rav Nachman tells him, Amalei, meya pande bepando lemachye. He could give him 100 zetzes over here with this handle of the hoe, of the shovel, because he has the right to take the din into his own hands over here. Why is that? Because afil leman diomar lo ovid inish dina lenavshe, even though there's a famous machlokas, can a person take the law into his own hands? So even according to man diomar, it says you normally cannot take the law into your own hands, b'makom seida, if this is a huge financial loss for you, so then ovid inish dina lenavshe, then you are allowed to go and take the law into your own hands. Because this is actually a machlokas, the itmar. So machlokas between two amaroyim, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda Amar, lo ovid inish dina lenavshe, that Rav Yehuda says a person cannot take the law into his own hands, whereas Rav Nachman Amar, a person can take the law into his own hands. If he knows he's right, he's allowed to go and take the item himself. Now, Rav Nachman, who holds Ovid Inish Dino Lavshe, says, even according to Rav Yehuda, who says normally low Ovid Inish Dino Lavshe, Hechodika Psida, where there is a financial loss going on right now. And if you don't take the law into your hands, you're going to suffer financial loss. Then Kuli Amar, even Rav Yehuda, certainly I, but even Rav Yehuda says in that situation, lo pligi, there is no argument. You're allowed to take the law into your own hands. The Ovid Inish Dino Lenafshe. So over here, this water is a commodity that's going to get used up. So therefore, the one who had no right to go and take it is taking it. So the other guy who's losing out now, because this guy's taking the limited water in this pit, so therefore, he has the right to give him a zetz and stop him from taking the water. So the only place that Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman disagree, they have the machlokes, keep leaking, hechel the lekup, say there's no loss. And what's the reason that they disagree over there? Because Rav Yehuda Amar, lo ovid inish dino lenafshei, person doesn't have the right to take the law into his own hands, and therefore the kiva the lekup say that since there's no financial loss right now, so what's your rush to take the law into your own hands? Lezel kamei dayana, go in front of the judge, and let the judge handle the case, let him adjudicate the case. Whereas Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman Amar, no, ovid inish dino lenafshei, you have the right to go take the law into your own hands. You don't want to go to court. It's too much of a tircha, trouble for you. You know you're right, and therefore, the kiva, the bedin of it, you are doing 100% what's right. This guy has no right to go and do what he's doing, and therefore, you can prevent him from doing this, or you can take the law into your own hands. Lo torah, why do I have to go to a din torah and all of the trouble that's involved? I'm just going to take the law into my own hands. I see my item is in his possession. I'm going to have to just go and take my item. Now, Marcy Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, it looks like Rav Nachman is right from the following case, and Rav Yehuda is wrong. Because Ben Bagbag Omer, Ben Bagbag was a ger, and he was known as Bagbag, the hay, the bays, gimel, ends up the hay, and this was the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he took upon himself the name of Ben Bagbag. So, yeah, the same thing, Ben Hey, similar idea. So, Ben Bagbag tells us the following halacha. Al tikonis l'chotzer, Rashi says, don't go in there surreptitiously. Don't do it b'gneva u'baseser. Don't sneak into your friend's yard and take what he has of yours. So people who may see this, shelo tira olav kiganav, because it looks like you're sneaking in there surreptitiously that you're a ganav. So don't go sneak into your friend's yard to go take back your item from him. Al tikonis l'chotz l'chavercha, lito l'shalcha, shelo b'rishus. Don't go and sneak in there and take it without his permission, even though it's yours. What should you do? Ben Bagbag says, in this situation, if you go sneak in there, as Rashi pointed out, Shema Teirah Olav Kiganav. People are going to see you sneaking in there. They think you're a Ganav. They won't see that it's yours. El, what should you do, Ben Bagbag says? El, Shuvor Eshinov. Go and break his teeth. In other words, Rashi says, take it b'chazaka. Kolomar, kach b'chazaka. Go and take it with strength, the Emolo, and tell him, Shali Anino Tel, I am taking my property back. In other words, Rashi says, this is a kasha and Rav Yehuda. Because like Rav Nachman, Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshei, he's allowed to go take back his property. He doesn't have to go to court, sue, and have the whole process, a legal process, and hire the lawyers and pay the court fees, etc. No, just go take your property back. You have the right to take the din into your own hands. This is a raya from Ben Bagbag to Rav Nachman, and a kasha, Rashi says, on Rav Yehuda. No, what does Rav Yehuda say to this? Amalei, Rav Yehuda would say back to Rav Kahana, who was the one who asked the question. We turn to Chav Ches Omer Aleph. Imach, he responds back, Imach. Rashi says, a lashon of bismia. Really? Klomar, v'chi nira beinecha, shetshuva zu hogenis hi? Do you really think this is a good slugging me up that you're bringing me from the case of Ben Bagbag? That's Rashi's first pshat. Alternatively, Rashi says, lishna achrina. He says, Imach, keep your answer to yourself. Te tshuva zu to you, she'enu klum. It's a worthless answer that you provided because this is a das of a yochid, Ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag yichidahu. This was the personal answer that Ben Bagbag held. However, the Chachamim, in the majority opinion, upligi Rabbanan Alei, and say, you don't have the right to go take the law into your own hands. So I hold like the majority opinion. Yeah, you, Rav Kahana, holding like the opinion of Rav Nachman, hold like the minority opinion of Ben Bagbag. So therefore, I have no problem with your answer. That's teretz number one. Rav Yane Omar, a second teretz. Again, it says Rav Yane Omar, so it doesn't mean he's arguing with the first teretz. That's a perfectly valid teretz, and it belongs to the Chachamim, that shita. But he says there's another teretz that you could have given. Rav Yane Omar, when he said, my shivor eshinov, when he said, Ben Bagbag's opinion was that you should go break his teeth. In other words, go and take it by force. He didn't mean literally go and take the item from the guy's yard by force. He meant go and take it with force, but then take the guy to court and win your case in court. That's what it means, shvorish, you know, break his teeth. In other words, prove him wrong in court. So, Yana, he says, that's Ben Bakba's opinion, which is consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that lo avid inish dina benafshe. But the Gemara says, no, there's two problems with answering the way Rav Yanai said. Number one, ihachi, then instead of saying the emor lo, that the owner of the item should say to the guy that had it in his rishus, I'm taking back my item, it should have said the omrim lo, miboyle. It should have said that the beis din says to the guy, hey, give it back. And instead of saying shali ani notel, I'm taking my item back, the beis din is the one that's talking, the beis din would be saying, shalohu notel, he's allowed to take back his item. So, miboyle, that's what it should have said. And if Rav Yanai is correct, the law shown that the court used is different than the lashon that the person used. And it seems to me, Ben Bagbag is saying, like the individual is talking and not like the basin is talking. Where's his taka? Kasha, this is a real problem with Rav Yanai's teretz. Again, when we use kasha, it doesn't mean that there's absolutely no answer. It means that there's a teretz. The Gemara here doesn't give us an example of what the teretz would be, but it's a problem with Rav Yanai's answer. And therefore, the first answer, that Ben Bagbag is a yochid, and Rav Yehuda holds like the rabbim who argue with Ben Bagbag, is a much better teretz. Now, we're going to continue having a discussion about who is right, Ovidinish Dina Lanafshe or not. The Machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Nachman will continue picking this up tomorrow, but this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day. Let there be peace in Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael.